Today on the show, ICE has been activated as massive arrests begin.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so you don't think who the president is and who runs our government makes a difference, or that your vote matters? In just the first 48 hours of President Trump's presidency, ICE has made nearly 800 or maybe over 800 arrests. That's probably getting close to 1,000 today, by just unleashing the authority that these officers that are part of the Homeland Security Department and overseen by Governor, will be eventually overseen by Governor Noem as she goes through her confirmation process. But that once you unleash the power of what the law already allows these agents to do, you can hit these, well, they sound unbelievably high numbers, but you realize that's just the beginning. That's just tip of the iceberg when you're talking about at least, I mean, we've been saying 11 million people for, I feel like, 8 to 10 years. So it's got to be 20, right? Because those 11 million people have gotten older. They've had kids. I mean, it's not 11 or 12 million. It's got to be over 20 million people. So if you're going to do that, you've got to stay on track really quick. And if you know where the illegal aliens are, for instance, if they are in prisons, they have gone to prisons and they have said, you have 300 who we're going to be taking care of until what? They are then eventually deported. How about we deport them now to serve their prisons sentences in their home countries? And so 300 of them were taken from prison situations. And this is just being done in 48 hours. Imagine when this government is fully up and running. It's not right now. I will be very clear with you. Today, the Trump administration is probably at about 50%. President Trump is at 100%, but his team is not fully in place. You don't have all the secretaries yet. That's why it's so important that we watch the nominations and the hearing schedules, that they stay on track, because you've got to get the cabinet secretaries in, and then you've got to get their deputies in. And once you start doing that, their department heads, then you've got a Trump administration going at 100%. So if they can do this at 50%, imagine what they will be able to do when all of their people are in their key positions. And that usually takes a couple of months in the federal government, even if you're on time and don't have too many holdups. It's not so much that, again, you've just got to go through a lot of hearings, because a number of these positions require Senate approval. So it's not just you nominating them. It's them going to a committee hearing, sometimes over a day, and then eventually getting votes scheduled on the Senate floor. The Senate's very close right now, so you have to start with your top folks. But it is an example of what you can do, Logan. I think, you know, when you've been there before, but two, when you know what the law already allows. This is not creating new law. This was just saying, through executive order, we're going to start doing what we're allowed to do under the law.
Yeah, absolutely, and start pushing those forward. And for the ones that maybe are on the line, you start pushing that to see what could come of it. You know, conversations then are unlocked, and, you know, conversations start happening. We want to hear from you as well, though. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110 about this, as we've seen now the border lockdown in some ways start to roll out. As Jordan said, the full team is not in yet. It will probably be weeks, if not months, until that happens. But there will be some people that have, you know, gone through very successfully. We already saw that with Marco Rubio and more.
And the lawfare has already begun, too. I mean, I was in a meeting with all of our attorneys yesterday before the show, and I said, I want to look at those executive orders, because that's the first acts by the president. We haven't seen legislation yet. And those, they're going to come under legal scrutiny. They already are starting to get lawsuits. Those lawsuits have already been filed from the far left. But you've also got states like New York and California saying, we're going to put together $50 million war chest just to fight legally every Trump administration order we disagree with. So think about what we're up against in just a couple of states. They put together $100 million by the snap of their finger to take on all of the issues that you care about. So we've got to fight back at the ACLJ. You become an ACLJ champion, a monthly recurring donor today at aclj.org/champions. The champions are the key to our work in these big fights that are going to last years. Let's go to aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So there is a lot to talk about, too, and what's going on with the Trump administration right away. We want to take your calls, too. So we'll get to those as you kind of work through these executive orders and what is happening legislatively at 1-800-684-3110 to be a part of the show today. Now, we've got these efforts. New Jersey has already filed against birthright citizenship. We walked through that yesterday as well. Will, we were walking through that with our team. So what does this birthright citizenship executive order do? And I think this one, it might end up in courts. It's interesting because, you know, the Constitution just says birthright. And we've allowed a very broad definition of what that means to basically be anybody who has a child here. That child is a U.S. citizen. It doesn't matter how their parents got here, who their parents are, or if their parents were even supposed to be here legally or not. So it starts with, okay, start with the mother. Is the mother here illegally, or is she here temporarily? So not a green card or something on up, like the citizenship. Well, if you combine that with a father who is illegal or also not supposed to be here permanently, which means it doesn't have to be citizenship, but something like a green card, then that person would not get citizenship. But if you start making those combinations where you've got a father who is here, well, then you would. If you have a mother who is here, again, permanently, then you would then benefit from birthright citizenship. So what will the courts do about that? I think that's just going to be interesting to see where they see jurisdiction and how they interpret something that's very broad in the Constitution, and it's been very broadly allowed to be interpreted by the federal government. Stepped in and said, you know what, is this really what they were talking about? I mean, they really just mean if people violated the law knowingly to have a child here, that those should be citizens, or if people had a vacation here and they went into labor early, that that's supposed to become a citizen of the United States? Because then we started to have industries built around that. Industries,
tourism.
Yeah, birth tourism. And if you lived in places like Miami or others, you would see this all over the place, really nice medical birthing centers set up because people would have to come and kind of guess. And so these were wealthier, usually Latin Americans, who could make sure their children would be born as American citizens. And
they would often just return home.
Right. That's all I'll say. This is not talking about people who are coming here
trying to have
a baby so they can stay. Not that situation. You're talking about, like Jordan said, sort of wealthy individuals that would come
down. A few days
later,
they're coming. They're flying home as soon as that
child's
flying
here. Home. And then you have dual citizenship for your child. I mean, I understand it in some ways. You have an opportunity to have your kid become an American and be part of the greatest country in the world.
Right.
Makes sense.
Right. I mean, until the laws are changed and we know that they are changed, I mean, you would understand why people in economic situations that can afford to do that would think about doing that. You can also see why people who are in the worst conditions risk coming over the border because they know that probably 7 out of 10 times they'll be able to get across the border. But now it's Donald Trump's administration.
And they'll get emergency health care. So if there's needed, they'll be able to get probably a better situation in terms of the medical care they're going to get provided than in their own home.
But we've already got New Jersey filing against that. They're already saying they're going to file lawsuits against this. So another state, now we've talked about New York, we talked about California. You think those states would be focusing on themselves right now instead of in some of their major cities, instead of taking on the Trump administration's executive orders. But no, they're taking the people's taxpayer money to file lawsuits on birthright citizenship.
That's right, Jordan. And as we mentioned in the previous segment, 766 arrests, Tom Homan, the border czar, announced have taken place in the first 24 hours of the new Trump administration. 308 of those were for serious criminals, meaning murder, violent crimes, things of that nature. And this 766 number, that's more in the first day than President Trump did in the first week of his first term, which was still a very big focus on illegal immigration in early 2017. This number in 24 hours is a large number. Also, you know that ICE has probably felt restrained under the Biden administration. So I'm sure the agents at ICE are happy to be getting back to their core mission. But you also mentioned the lawfare that's being waged. And you've been warning about this since November 6th, since the day we came on air and said President Trump was declared the winner, but just be on the lookout for this dangerous period and how the left will fight back and why groups like the ACLJ are so important. Gavin Newsom and California Democrats reached a $50 million deal the week before inauguration. So they'd been trying to put this deal together since the election, but at a time when they're having one of the worst wildfires in the state's history, which is wiping out large swaths of LA, they're still working on a $50 million deal to what they call Trump-proof the state. And what this entails is $25 million going to the California Department of Justice to fight the federal government in court. So essentially, fight every federal thing that they can that President Trump is going to put forward. And the other $25 million of this $50 is going to go to NGOs and nonprofits.
Not us.
That are specifically legal nonprofits. So the left's version of an ACLJ, the state is going to be giving up to $25 million to defend immigrants against deportation, detention, and wage theft.
And this is when you start thinking about these left-leaning states with your taxpayer dollars and going, do you really want to be funding this? I mean, I get, like, if your career has to be there, if this is where you must live, or, moving is not easy depending on what stage of life you're at either. Where your business is, your family is. We all understand that. But you realize they are weaponizing their own version of ACLJs, not by people who are giving voluntarily, but by you, the taxpayer. And then they're going to then fund the left's version to go into court to fight the Trump administration as much as possible. I've said this, and I just to get it through to people, how important this statistic is. And I have no doubt this 4 years will be the same when we look back on it, because we're already seeing so much legal action from our team right now. I mean, we were in a meeting the day after the swearing in, when really it's a very – but because the executive orders were signed and it wasn't like a usual president who does like a few, did 200. Well, guess what? We had to go to work, and we had to get our team to start prioritizing those executive orders. But you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to get – $2 million or $3 million checks from California, New Jersey, or New York to help fight this in court. We have to, and we will end up spending more money and filing more cases under the Trump administration than the Biden administration. And in one sense, it's a good thing, because that means We are in court fighting for on issues, not to stop something we believe is bad, but to help something go into force and to work that we believe will greatly assist our country. So when you're looking at it as an attorney, it's a more proactive way of saying, you know what, we believe this is constitutional. We believe this is worth fighting for, not because this is going to damage America, but because this is going to put America in a better standing than it is right now in the world. And that's what you're always trying to do when you're looking at those kind of policy and legal situations. And we're doing it at the ACLJ. You want to be part of it. There's a couple different ways. You can give one-time donations at aclj.org. You can also say, you know what, it's the new year. I know I've got this much a month I could donate to the ACLJ and just do it automatically if it's $20 or $50 or $100. And you can do that at aclj.org/champions. That's aclj.org/champions. We got calls on the border coming in, as well as some of the life executive orders that we're going to get into in the next segment of the broadcast. But I think we can go to Erica in Illinois on line three. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Logan. I'm so excited this morning to be able to call. I've wanted to since I started supporting ACLJ since the Obama reign. I wanted to say we used to RV down in Texas 9 years, got reports from the Border Patrol, and the last month that we stayed, there were 248 illegals coming across. And the Border Patrol said they want more manpower. And every month we got a report to our RVers. Want more manpower, more equipment, and more money to bring order. And that was 248 people in 1 month. And today, we are getting rid of 1,024 hours. I am so excited. I don't think people realize what a journey this is going to be ahead of us.
Well, yeah. Well, listen. There's going to be a fight, but a lot of this is going to be positive. I mean, what a lot of the Border Patrol agents are doing right now, even some of the policies that people are saying, well, that's more extreme because they go into a church, they would go into sensitive places they used to call them. Nothing in the law prevented that. Those were policies. But when things get so bad, and communities are being taken over by violence and trafficking and the drugs that come through having a porous border, you have to look at your options and unleash the laws that have already been passed and written to empower your agents to get the job done. And what does that do ultimately? It is to remove those who are here illegally, and they are starting with people who are the most dangerous to communities. So not started with grandmas. They're starting with the gangs, the people who have again, records in the United States of crime. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org. What's happening on life? We'll get to that when we get back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Now, it's interesting. Today is the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, and a lot of the, you know, because of the Dobbs case overturning Roe versus Wade, there's been a lot of shifting to that date being a day that is celebrated in the pro-life movement. But you'll see pro-life work being done today and tomorrow in the U.S. Senate, as well as in the House of Representatives. I know Congressman Chip Roy has got legislation moving through on in the House of Representatives, specifically on life. And we've also got it in the U.S. Senate tomorrow. So, Cece, tell people, in the U.S. Senate, they're going to vote on a bill to protect babies who survive abortion, the Born Alive protections. What do they think the vote's going to look like?
Yeah, well, we saw on January 11th, the House actually passed it, and that passed by a vote of 220 to 210. So, you know, that's a significant, especially when we see abortion votes are very close. You know, I'm encouraged by the 220 to 210 vote in the House. The Born Alive Protection, Abortion Survivors Protection Act in the Senate is co-sponsored by Senator Lankford and Senator Thune. And, you know, hopefully we will have a good vote there as well, because it really is, just like Senator Lankford said, it's a common sense bill. And it's basically, if a baby has a botched abortion and they are born alive, they deserve protection. And it's kind of silly. It's, you don't even think that there should have to be a law saying that. But we have seen time and time again that these abortion doctors and nurses, a baby will be born alive from a botched abortion, and they will be left to just die on the table. And so this bill will actually protect those children.
Now, the Senate, we've also, it's obviously a closer breakdown when you're talking about those who support life, even amongst in the Republican Party. So it could be a very close vote if we can get it to the floor. Do we think we can even get this to the floor of the U.S. Senate?
I think they're pretty certain that it's going to happen on Friday. So, you know, if you care about this at all, then I say, you know, contact your senators and tell them to vote for it. Again, it is a common sense bill. If a baby is born alive from an abortion, they should absolutely have the right to have their life protected.
And Jordan, also, I think it is very important to point out that Leader Thune is the co-sponsor in the Senate. So you know that he is bringing this as a first action in the Senate. Obviously, they'd already gone through the Laken Riley Act, and they got that passed. But having this bill as an early bill in the Senate that is co-sponsored by the new Senate Majority Leader, I think speaks volumes to him showing the conservative base that I'm looking out for your priorities as well. I also think that probably gives it a better chance of clearing some of those cloture votes and some of those thresholds to move the legislation forward, because he is the new leader. This is an opportunity for him to flex his power a little bit and say, my name's on this bill, I want it moved forward, that you wouldn't necessarily have if it were just Senator Lankford and maybe another non-leadership position or you know, in the hierarchy of the Senate, Republicans co-sponsoring that. So I think we're looking for a positive outcome, and hopefully it does go forward. But this isn't the only thing that's going on. You see, Senator Hawley is actually asking President Trump to pardon 21 pro-life protesters that have prison or jail sentences, things of that nature. You see that the Department of Health and Human Services, on day one, once the new administration was in, took down the section of the website about abortion, about how to get abortions. So the entire pro-life movement is now getting a sort of an uplifting moment after 4 years of a very aggressive pro-abortion administration. We're starting to see some reprieve of that, and hopefully there are more things coming as well.
Yeah, let's go to Robert in Maryland to talk about some other things coming. Robert, you're on line one. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I wanted to ask you a question. How many executive orders on the first day of President Trump's inauguration, January 20th, has he already signed, pro-life executive orders that would overturn the pro-abortion executive orders of former President Biden? And second thing on the border, The people, it sounds like that they're deporting that are illegal immigrants, they're concentrating right now and focusing on the ones that have committed crimes in the countries they came from, in addition to the ones that have committed crimes since they came here, if that's correct on the border issue.
Yeah, on the border issue, right. They're not starting with kids and grandparents. They're starting with people who have criminal records. Either they know that they have criminal records at home, or where they came from, or that they have criminal records here. And then I'd say the other asterisk there would be not necessarily a long rap sheet, but their known involvement with a cartel. So whether you've got the tattoos, the markings, you're in a raid on a cartel that you were there and captured alongside with them, that these are going to be people who are going to be the first priority to be removed from the United States of America. On life, we're waiting for the Mexico City policy to be reinstated. That should be done shortly. I would likely be done this week or next week. That prevents funding from the United States going overseas to organizations that provide abortions, which is a lot of where that money that goes to international organizations. And so it affects millions and millions of dollars. But you're seeing pro-life moves. Like, remember, this administration appointed the justices that overturned Roe versus Wade, and a lot of the battles are not happening in the federal at the federal level anymore. They're actually at the state level. So while we've got the Born Alive Act vote, hopefully in the U.S. Senate on Friday, and in the House, Chip Roy, we talked about those protesters that were arrested. Congressman Chip Roy is a friend of our broadcast. Is putting forward legislation for a vote to remove the FACE Act, the free access to clinics. And that is the law that the Department of Justice, they have an entire department inside the DOJ that uses that to primarily prosecute pro-life protesters for, and then it makes it a federal crime. So he is looking to do that in the House. The House still, the margins are tight, but you're seeing pro-life legislation move forward, and then you'll see those pro-life executive orders. And as Will said, you're getting pro-life people put into positions. There, a lot of them aren't there yet. So, you know, we don't have our Attorney General Pam Bondi yet. Once we do, I mean, that is going to change a lot of Department of Justice policies right there. When you have FBI Director and Kash Patel's there, they're not going to be looking at radical traditionalist Catholics or pro-life activists to show up at their door with 20 FBI officers. Policies will change as well. That's a big part of the change. It's not always, is there a law they can put in force? So we've talked about two just now this week. But it's also the policies. It's also, are you going to prioritize trying to arrest pro-life protesters? And we know that when the left gets into power, it's exactly what they want to do. They want to try and show, and I think they failed after the overturn of Roe versus Wade, but they like to try and show that they are, that somehow it's the pro-life activists that are the bad actors and the violent actors and the bad people. And usually they are people who are older, who are praying, who are offering assistance to those and saying, hey, there's other options like the pregnancy centers that you can talk to that can provide you with a lot of help that you may need. So this is not the only option you have. And of course, at the end of the day, we know that these fights for life, just like on securing our border, this is just the first 48 going into 72 hours. The fights are going to get tougher. They're going to get harder, and we're going to need your support. We're going to need your support because we know that there already is so much legal work to do to get our country back on track, to make it the greatest country in the world once again and protect the unborn. So go to ACLJ.org and donate today if you can.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right to keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of talk on immigration, because I think what you're seeing is this is an issue that really the federal government has the most power to decide the policy on. And even the federal government, I'm not talking about the like legislation or the need for new legislation. Certainly, if you want to spend a lot of new resources, so if we're going to add a lot of wall, major expenditures, you do need those expenditures covered with congressional authorization. Sometimes you can find the money in other places in discretionary spending that gets put into these large spending bills. But a lot of this is just policy. And the policy emanates from the executive branch. And right now, most of that policy, because there's only a couple of executive branch leaders in position. There's the president, the vice president, and the secretary of state. I'm not sure who else has got, who has actually gotten a vote on the floor of the U.S. Senate yet. I'm not sure if anyone else has. So this is emanating mostly from the White House. And what they're doing is they're changing the policy. So they're kind of unleashing ICE to be able to do what they had the capability to do, but they weren't allowed to do under the previous administration, so under the Biden-Harris administration. And you've got actions everywhere from, you know, what citizenship, how that will be defined, to actions about what is actually going to happen at the border with troops. So we go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. There's a story breaking right now
that 1,500 additional troops will be moved to the border by the end of January. That's a report to Fox News from the U.S. officials.
Yeah, and we've got a call on that.
All right, let's go ahead. All right,
line six. Yeah, Judy is calling from Oregon on line six. Watching on YouTube, you're on Seculo.
Good morning. Thank you for all the wonderful work you do. Yes, I heard about the troops, but I also heard that people are massing on the border, hundreds and hundreds of people. And they've done this before, and I believe they're going to do this again, try a mass border crossing, putting the women and children in front. What can Trump do to defuse this? Because it's a lose-lose situation.
Well, I think one is you have a mass amount of force so that people have to rethink, okay, am I going to go through this? And then look what's there. Look, this is not a bunch of welcoming asylum officers. This is military and border patrol. These are people that are going to arrest you. And they're going to deport you. And remember how quickly the Trump administration would get those deportations done, so that people weren't being housed in those, you know, the children in cages, all those facilities that we were building. It was horrendous conditions, and the conditions were horrible that people were in. And we don't want that either. So you've got to handle this quickly. And what you've got to do is a show of force so that people stop thinking that it's a good idea to go to that border and illegally cross. I don't think what you're going to be seeing is a bunch of troops put in place who aren't trained for this. So we're not just saying, okay, you know what, there's not enough ICE agents, so we're going to throw random troops down there. We're going to be sending troops and forces down that are going to have training in this. They are going to have knowledge about how to deal with the individuals. And I think the bigger picture, guys, is they don't want people looking over that border and seeing maybe some asylum workers and some tents set up for people and you know, medical testing facilities and places they could stay and food, instead of saying, you know what, this is a country that's serious about their own border security. And because most of the drugs killing Americans and the crime is emanating from the southern border, we're gonna put forward a show of force, so that people have to rethink that.
And one of the other components of that is it's not just sending troops, but the revival of the Remain in Mexico policy from President Trump.
Well, that's the second part. You've got to work with Mexico. You've got to work with Mexico to prevent these people. Mexico and their military and their police can make sure that people don't amass like 1,500 at the border, creating a humanitarian crisis on purpose, so that trying to get you to bend the crisis, or send the resources that those people need to Mexico so that the crisis can be averted, but you're not having to bring them inside the United States. You have to start thinking about it. I know it's tough because it's only been a few days. We have to be creative again. Remember, President Trump was really creative with the border laws, and we had lots of great policies in place. We did that because of you. Donate today at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
To Secular, we are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. And Will, something we talked about, but we've got calls about as well, is these states that on the left, these blue states, which are putting together slush funds, legal slush funds, to take on the Trump administration. And so think about what they will be doing is giving out millions of taxpayer dollars to liberal organizations to then file lawsuits against the Trump administration. So to take us on in court, basically, to fight us. So we know that California and New York have each put it to aside $50 million. So that's $100 million right there that we're facing from just two states. We also know that other states like New Jersey, they've already announced that they're going to be filing on the birthright citizenship. So some of this will be happening from the state level, but all of it, you know, being paid for by taxpayers in these states who, again, many are those taxpayers who support the work of the ACLJ. But yet your state and your governor is putting together $50 million slush funds to try and stop any of the policies that the American people elected a president to put into place.
That's right. And if you look at what this is, for those of you that missed the earlier segment, that Gavin Newsom reached a deal in the week leading up to the inauguration with the senators, the Democrat-led Senate in California, at the same time that there's these catastrophic wildfires, that there's $50 million to fight the Trump agenda. 25 will go directly to the internal, the State Department of Justice, to fight the federal government. And the other 25 will go to legal nonprofits and immigration support centers. So imagine the ACLJ-style organization, but on the left. They're putting aside $25 million to go to these nonprofits of taxpayer money to fight the deportation or detention of illegal immigrants. And I think we have a call from California about this very topic.
Yeah, let's go to Carrie, who's calling from California on line 4. Carrie, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. Go ahead with your comment.
My husband's a big follower of some of the stuff that's going on in government, and he talked a little bit about how California is going to be trying to fight everything that Trump is trying to do. But I didn't realize that Newsom put out is using our tax money to fight that.
Yes. I mean, $50 million he's worked with the legislature. And then they're going to give that money out to liberal organizations and nonprofits to go fight it out, whether that's border issues, immigration issues internally that are happening, and other the policies, pro-life policies. I mean, basically, you can go through the list of the issues that Trump and people who voted for President Trump really care about, and it's most of those top issues that California and New York are going to take issue with about, again, kind of opening up our economy again with using the resources we have in our country. So whether it's oil and gas, and making sure that we are net exporter instead of importer of those. Also at the same time, the tougher immigration standards, not just what's happening at a border, but also what's happening inside communities that have been overrun by illegal criminal gangs and cartels that are running cities. But we know that this isn't just going to be put the policy into force and it's going to happen. We know that there will be serious opposition, millions of dollars worth of legal fighting to do to make sure that those policies actually get to go into force. Some of those legal battles will be quick. Others will take a couple of years. And think about a couple of years in a presidency that is only going to be 4 years long. Okay, so a couple of years, it gets you to another midterm election. We know what the left strategy is. If you can tie up a policy, Will, especially for a couple of years, and then maybe have some shift in the House and the Senate, or both of them, especially when they're this close. And historically, you look back and midterms are tougher for the incumbent president. Not always, but sometimes, but most of the time. Then if you can tie it up in court for a couple of years, guess what you've done? You've actually stop the policy that the American people voted for actually having a chance to go into force.
That's right. And if
you, then they'll come in with legislation to try and block it.
You think about, obviously, the United States government has the Department of Justice, the Solicitor General. They have resources because they will have to fight this as well, yes, when they're sued. However, there's also a big job being undertaken right now to try and reform the Department of Justice. Many of the people that work for the Department of Justice may agree with some of these left-leaning states. And so that's also why organizations like the ACLJ, especially when there is leftist counterparts that are making these lawsuits as well, it is so important to have the voice of the ACLJ members heard. With the great work and extreme intelligence, brilliance of our legal team to fight back as well. Because our legal team at the ACLJ has defended presidents of the United States, has defended state governments, has defended even sidewalk pro-life counselors. We are experts at the very things that these states are going to be fighting against. So that's another reason why it's so important to support our work in this time, because you have to have all hands on deck when the left is going to designate taxpayer money to the tune of $50 million. We heard about all the tax cuts that Mayor Bass of LA did to their fire departments and things of that nature. But yet at the same time, the state government is increasing the budget to just do one thing, fight Trump, fight a conservative agenda in the court system. So the ACLJ is ready to fight. I know that you were there having those meetings yesterday.
Yeah.
Right after the inauguration, what was Jordan doing? He was in D.C. meeting with the attorneys of the ACLJ, crafting a strategy of how we fight back. And as you're having those meetings, we're getting news alerts, lawsuit filed, lawsuit filed, lawsuit filed. And so we are ready. You have the strategy, and we are going to continue, but we also need the support of our members.
Yeah, we do. I mean, the key is, and it's just like I said, we will be in more active litigation than we probably were in under the Biden administration. That was a lot of litigation. We'll have to go back and count it all up because some of it is still ongoing, and it will be closed more quickly now when you get people into these offices. We have really kind of two focuses at the ACLJ right now when you're at the early part of an administration that you've worked closely with. Number one is making sure that their early policies, when they don't have the department's heads in yet, they don't have the deputies in yet, to make sure that those early policies don't just get beat up in, you know, a district court or a court of appeals and not get fully flushed out in court and fight back. So you want to make sure that that doesn't occur. And the second part of that, and I think it's just important then, is getting the people confirmed. You've got to get people into these offices to start running the offices, or it makes it more difficult to, because the Department of Justice would be a main, the main defense mechanism of these lawsuits like New Jersey's talking about, or California's talking about, or New York is talking about. But our AG is not in, and the deputies are not in yet. And until they are in, we still have to be ready to fight back. And President Trump is going to continue to move on his agenda. So what do you do? You can rely on groups like the ACLJ and others to make sure that while you're in this process of transition, which is still going on and likely will go on. I mean, it takes a couple of months. I mean, just to be honest with people.
It's thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about nearly 10,000 positions that you can fill. And I'd say with every major department, you need to fill at least 50 before you're up and running, maybe at 100% of being able to implement the policies or the legal approach that you're going to take and prioritizations. I mean, that's one thing that we have in government is prosecutorial discretion. So Pam Bondi, working alongside President Trump and his team, will decide what are our priorities as the Department of Justice. And it's not going to be, I have a feeling, going after Catholics or the pro-life community. It's going to be going after the violent criminals and people who are causing Americans to die. I think a lot of it ties into the border, and it ties into what happens when the drugs are already here. And so you will focus differently on what issues you prioritize. And by doing that, you're allowing those resources to be utilized for what you care about the most. And it's a great tool that they will have when they are in place. But I say that, it's when they are in place. And the left knows the longer they can try and drag their feet on some of these nominees, Logan, and they'll try to do as long as possible, because that means there's that much less time for those nominees to actually get in there and start changing things and start implementing the policies.
Yeah, but we knew all this was coming. That's why the ACLJ has been fighting back. And, you know, it's only been 48, 72 hours or so now that President Trump has been in office. We could use your support, though. Go to ACLJ.org. Become an ACLJ champion if you can. That's someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis. Obviously, it's tax deductible. And you could do that, and it's automatic. Just go ahead and opt in. You can do that at any level. I believe $5 is the minimum. Or give a one-time gift at ACLJ.org. We really would appreciate it. If you're brand new watching on YouTube, I encourage you, or Rumble, hit that subscribe button. If you're brand new, we do this show each and every weekday and put up a lot of great content as well. And we're going to be taking your calls coming up in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org. www.keepingyouinformed.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We got calls, and I want to get to all of them. So we'll be kind of jumping around with the topics that we've been talking about today and even some of the issues that were occurring before the elections. So let's just go by order that people have been holding on. Yep. And we get to all of them.
All right, let's go to Jane, who's first, who's calling in El Paso, Texas, watching on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube as well, hit that subscribe button if you're brand new. And about half the people that watch each and every day don't subscribe, and we would appreciate it. So go ahead, Jane.
Hey, good afternoon. Just wanted to let you know I'm a champion as well. I love you guys.
Thank you.
But I wanted to tell you, prior to the Biden border, prior to that, our biggest problem is the dangling carrot of birthright citizenship, because we have lots of women coming over here just to have a baby.
Yeah.
And these are women that have never had prenatal care, so their babies have tons of complications, tons of medical expenses to be in our NICU. But when they come over here and they're an American baby, they get all of our tax dollars, our Medicaid, and they get everything that they could possibly need. And so this is a big draw for these women to come over here. It's a huge problem in our emergency room.
Anchor, you know, we call it anchor baby. I know that you don't want to necessarily use terms that are like derogatory about the child, because the child's not the one making any of these decisions. But sometimes you're putting yourself at risk as someone who's pregnant very late in a pregnancy to try and come here and get this done. And listen, we're not talking about ending all birthright citizenship. I walked you through it. If you've got a parent that has a green card, you would become a U.S. citizen. So just one of your parents. It's really, we're talking about both. If you know who both the parents are and neither have, they're either here legally or here temporarily. So they're on a tourist visa or a short-term work visa, that those the combinations are the people who will not be able then to claim birthright citizenship. If you have a parent who is here, maybe doesn't have a green card, and one who does have a green card, you would still qualify for birthright citizenship under this executive order by President Trump. So it is not so extreme as to try and ban the idea of birthright citizenship, which we have in our U.S. Constitution. It's going back and kind of reinterpreting. Did we really mean people here on vacation? Do we really mean people who violated the law to get here, that their kids would thus benefit, and then they benefit by having a U.S. citizen child, because it's harder to remove them from the country when they've got a minor who has just become a citizen in the U.S.
And also, a short-term tourist visa wasn't right. A thing when the Constitution was written. No. Someone couldn't just come over here for a week or a day even and leave.
No, no, no.
But I also, before we get to another call, I think it is important to also point out, back to that caller's point, that the left that wants to be so compassionate and says that a border is not compassionate, when you have no border and no security of that point, you actually are putting people more at risk that try to get over and then depend on emergency care in the United States and tax the hospital systems. That isn't good for anyone. That's not good for the migrant or the baby.
And it's not good for the American people.
Right.
Because the hospitals are overrun, and then ultimately they have to make a decision. If we're having to pay for all of this out of pocket, how do we afford to keep the hospital open? And so you've seen hospitals closing in areas that are dealing with the most people who need care. And that doesn't just hurt the illegal immigrant and their children. That hurts the U.S. citizens who've been paying in to have those services available to them, and then see that service is no longer one that can be provided close in their community, because it is not a viable option anymore to run a hospital in those communities, because you're being overrun with patients who cannot, who don't have insurance, don't even have citizenship, and you're having under law to take care of all of their emergency situations, which would be many in the case of a pregnancy, even a relatively easy pregnancy. You're talking about spending probably, when the federal government reimburses it, a normal kind of thing, probably close to six figures.
Yeah, let's continue on the calls. Remember how much we put people through also who are getting married and become U.S. citizens? It's a long process, one we got to prove with photos and all of this time. You know, it's not like something that we do so quickly. It's not you get married all of a sudden. You have to go through this sort of rigorous process. So it's not dissimilar to what's happening right now. Let's go ahead, though, continue on. John's calling in North Carolina on line three. Hey, John, know you're about to hold, but just keep it quick, so we're going to try to get to a couple more calls.
John, yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think y'all are doing great work. I started watching y'all back when y'all started defending Trump and all the prosecutions against him and everything was going down. And everything's been moving real quickly the last couple of months, but it seems like the New York appellate court decision has fallen to the wayside. And with all these new people looking to bring business to the United States since Trump came into office, I'm sure they're looking at New York to see what they're going to end up doing with this case, because nobody wants to bring
business. People start doing that. Listen, we know that companies have looked at these blue states that said no more. We're going to take the majority of our workers and put them in red states. So whether that's places like Tennessee or Texas or Florida that have benefited from that, in South Carolina, and basically these solid red states, that is being done. Second, I would say that case is a civil case. So that will move forward through a regular process with President Trump's attorneys, through appeals to have that overturned. So that case is far from over. What you saw closed out were criminal cases, and that's different than civil cases. And it's a civil case when you're talking about economic fines. So that's where the cases in New York, they haven't in that space, which is Letitia James and the Attorney General's cases, is different than Alvin Bragg and why he had to give up his cases. These cases, again, they can move forward. They will be defended by the president's team, and ultimately, I do think he will win. But at the same time, I don't think it has to be an impediment to his presidency at all, and it shouldn't be on the top of his mind.
All right, let's go ahead real quickly. Let's go to Kay in Maryland, online six. Watch on YouTube. Wrap us up for the day. Kay, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Oh, God bless you, Jay Sekulow and team. I'm so glad that you guys are still hanging in there. I was telling the guy I was talking to, I hope I remember everything I said, being called an extremist because I voted for Trump. And I'm a black American in a blue state, and just working with the for the government and them just pushing me out and not letting me get what is due. And then my taxes being up the yang yang. I don't know if I should buy food or gas or stay home and not go to work because I couldn't afford it. I feel like what's good for the goose is good for the gander. They've been sending money to foreign countries that hate us, that want to destroy us and take our nation from us and take God out of everything, then we should be able to do the same thing. I feel like people like you, we should be able to get stimulus checks for what they did in COVID. I think every American that has been paying taxes for decades deserve $1 million, every American family. I'm talking about true Americans that love God and love the people here that want to do the right thing. And also, if they could give millions of dollars to, guy over there in Ukraine, and to wherever they want to send it, and then they're going to tell us that, it's $1 billion in the deficit. God dang on it, we've been paying for that for years to other people, and they start wars to keep money going for that. We deserve to have that kind of money.
Okay,
and people that
I am not cutting you off. We are purely out of time. And thank you so much for your call and your comment. No, we appreciate it so much. Thank you for your support of the ACLJ. I encourage you all to do that as well. Go to aclj.org/champions to become a monthly donor. We appreciate you doing that right now. You have seen what the last 48 hours has already been for the attacks, essentially the Lawfare attacks, Jordan.
Listen, and you know that your ACLJ is well-positioned for legal battles. We're already getting prepared for those, such as the ones we've talked about today. But the attack, this is just the tip of the iceberg in the legal filings, and we're already ready to go. It's going to be busy. We're going to need more attorneys, and that means more resources at the ACLJ. So I am urging you to donate today. Either become an ACLJ champion and give monthly, or make a donation, a one-time donation today at ACLJ.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.